And we are live. Hey, welcome to episode 3 of, I don't know what the podcast is named, but stay tuned, episode 9 of the Bookworm podcast. Welcome everybody. Brian, thank you for coming on, absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Brian, can you just give a very, just a pretty brief introduction of, just about yourself and your backgrounds?
Yeah, my name is Brian Letch. I run a company called InFit PTV, Corporate Fitness Coaching. We're located in Docklands. You can also find us on social media at Docklands Personal Training Studio, if not InFit PTV. I've been doing personal training for well over 10 years now, working with a range of different clients on things like rehab, fitness, strength, weight loss, all that sort of stuff.
All stuff. Cool.
And yourself?
So kind. My name's Lockie. If you haven't already known, I've been training people for just a tad over 10 years now. So training people when I was 16. I have a very extensive background in training. I started training when I was about 8 years old, and I became quite obsessed with it, where I'm always trying to innovate and how can I improve my knowledge in training. I run my own personal training business at Good Life Docklands, which is also located at Docklands, and just want to help as many people as I can.
Good.
There we go.
I guess one more thing to add about myself is I actually started training. The reason I got into personal training was I broke my arm when I was younger.
How old?
It was a good friend of mine's 21st birthday.
That doesn't sound like you at all, bro.
So 21 I was. And it was the first time that I actually ever had any sort of real debilitating injury. So when I went through all of the rehab and spent time with the physios that helped me get that movement back and the use of my hand, I just had a light bulb moment in my life and decided that I wanted to help other people to kind of get their movement back as well.
So it's funny how adults learn from emotional pain. Unfortunately,
It was, it was an emotional thing. You know, I was always athletic and sporty.
You've always been athletic?
Yeah, look, from when I can remember, growing up playing footy, doing athletics, swimming, I was always competing through school and
you were like me,
relatively well at it. There was very few people that would beat me in things when I was younger at school. There's probably a few people that might have had the luxury of saying that they have. If you have, let's comment.
Cause, shout out.
I don't think there's many.
No.
I'm going to cancel that.
My daughter's
FaceTiming me.
No, we'll just keep running with it.
Emily, we're doing a podcast. Can I call you back?
Dude, she's so cute.
No. We're actually live. We're live doing a podcast right now. So I might have to call back. All right, Maria?
Yeah, that's
all
okay.
Alright.
Are you
going to
call us back?
Yeah. Alright, baby. I'll call you back. Alright, bye, baby.
Yeah, she's so cute.
Oh, that was convenient. I might actually put this on silent.
You know,
I'm actually impressed that that's the first interruption that we've had.
Yeah? Out of the 3 hours.
All things considering, we've done well.
All right, well, we'll
look, topic of conversation for the day. We got there eventually.
Establishing the line between clients and friends.
Interesting.
It's a very interesting
topic. We continue to cover the very interesting topics.
And that will continue.
Yeah.
That will continue. Keep watching.
And listening.
If you listen to the podcast.
So, establishing the line between client and friend. It's a toughie.
Yeah.
As you become more experienced, you learn from your mistakes with this one, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately. Again, we only learn from emotional pain, hey? So, we're going to talk about how we got clients in the past. And then we're going to go into
what is the line and how that
exists. Establishing the line between client and a friend. Well, the first thing, you need to have clients.
That's true, yeah.
Because if you don't have clients, well, you can't be friends with them.
Mm.
That's the black and white scenario.
So should we talk about how we've got clients in the past?
Yeah, I think so. So
figure it out from there.
You want to go first and just tell them a little bit about just dot point. Maybe with your PT studio, or you could say a little bit both with when you worked at South Pacific in the past.
Yeah,
it's very similar, but
South Pacific or Fitness First.
Yeah, corporate gyms. So anyone's aware of them, what they are.
A lot of the ways to get clients are pretty much the same, I think. There's small variations, but it's pretty much the same.
From a PT studio to a commercial gym.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's pretty similar.
Probably
one of the big differences is, though, when you're in a PT studio, like mine, for example, where I've set it up for myself to work exclusively out of, I don't have other trainers there that people are coming in and saying, okay, well, I'm sitting down talking to them starting training or even if we've already started, they're not observing other trainers thinking, oh, what are they doing? I want to try that. There isn't that element of it. And from a running a business point of view, I think that that's really ideal because your clients can just focus on what you're doing.
Correct, yeah, yeah.
They're not kind of chasing shiny things, and they're focusing on what they're meant to be focusing on. But yeah, look at dot point, paid social media. We've got clients from non-paid avenues through social media, whether they directly message. LinkedIn is one where even to this day, I still get...
Yeah, you're a big advocate on LinkedIn.
...connecting with me, and then they just message me straight away. That you don't have to pay for that, but it's a lead, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Referrals.
Yeah, massive. That's probably the best lead.
They're a good one. Yeah. If you're getting a good referral, the buying resistance is really, really low.
Very little objections.
But yeah, ones that I guess I never really looked at until kind of later on in my career was, things like attending events, whether it's like a networking event or a business event or like an entrepreneur event or something like that.
Yep.
And talking to those people. Word of mouth helps. One thing actually that I guess you have to really capitalize on opportunity, these ones are quite good. They can be free. Also, is using like voucher websites like Scoopon or Coupon or whatever those are all called. There's numerous ones that offer people special rates.
Yeah.
On the email.
And they're very quite low as far as costs are involved, if not free, some of them.
Yeah, some of them are free. Some of them you have to pay a small amount.
Yeah.
But, again, I think it really does come down to capitalizing on opportunity. Because if you want, what's called high ticket clients that are paying you top dollar, those coupon voucher things are not necessarily the best way to do that.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because generally people are going to those, special offers looking for discounts. But yeah, what about you? You've got some.
Very similar. Now, because I work in a commercial gym, so it's probably a little, very similar. The first one is phone calls, like picking up the phone and start dialing. And that means not seeing what year they're born. I don't care if it's male, female, shemale, it doesn't matter. I pick up the phone and I call them. So that's a big thing there. I start with that. I also make sure I'm at the gym floor, getting attention. Hey! It got your attention, didn't it?
Can do.
Yeah, can do. Like,
if you do something like that, though, in a commercial gym, does management get a bit funny about it? Or?
Yeah, but they never talk to me about it, so it's okay. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, I got to be tactful with it.
You got to be tactful, so you can't, there is a bridge and there is some sort of, responsibility that you need to take in. You got to maintain yourself as professional as well. Because at the end of the day, I think from my experience working so far in a commercial gym is you got to try and keep everyone happy. It's dumb, but unfortunately, that's the reality of the situation.
I think that's probably a pretty significant thing to talk about is being tactful on the gym floor.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You've got to be smart about it, and you don't want to rub people the wrong way. As much as you just want to be yourself, I do try and hold back a little bit. It is really difficult sometimes, but at the end of the day, you're just going to be yourself. But if anyone who's working in a commercial gym, just try and try and be everyone's best friend. Even if you don't like them, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you still got to come in at the same place. You still got to do your job. And it's you're only just making life harder for yourself. And I've learned that.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is being professional. I've made that mistake multiple times. It took me like 20 times to really learn that. I was like, ah. But just keep everyone happy. They're off my back.
I haven't been in a commercial gym, you know, like Good Life or South Pacific or First or anything for quite a few years now. I've been in my own facility for a while. But one thing I will say is, a small percentage of personal trainers that I've seen in that setting have got a really good understanding of what professionalism is and how to go about being professional.
I think 20%, to be honest, bro. Honestly,
one in five, I reckon.
I think that's a good call. Yeah, one in five. Maybe more, depending on what gym you work at.
Yeah, where you're at as well, I guess.
But yeah, there is a fine line with that.
But that also is going to determine how well you can establish that line between the client and friend as well.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get that right at the start and you're being yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
And you get that good blend of being professional and being yourself, then you're going to click with your clients. Correct. And you're going to be able to have that kind of emotional intelligence to understand what's too far and what's in line.
Yeah, exactly. It is reading the fine details and that. But yeah, like obviously, yeah. So working the gym floor is a necessity. And I think I even now book hours on my diary that this is the time I have to be there. If I had a cancellation at 12 o'clock, when there's usually one of the peak hours in the gym, I'm going to be at the gym. I'm going to be cleaning the gym floor. Maybe I'm going to train. But again, if you're going to train, be mindful that you're probably going to talk to people. So don't have the intention you're going to smash your workout, because you still need to talk to people. So I do that. What else have we got? So phone calls, gym floor. I think outreach, so talking to local businesses around the area, getting coffee from local places. This is a big thing. This is where I've got a lot of leads from. It's actually going to the same places over and over again and learning their names. Learning their names. So every time they call me, they'll go in, I know their names, they order the coffee they want. Sometimes they give me cheap coffees, and eventually you build so much rapport where they go, hey, do you want to come to come to the gym or something like that? Or what do you do? What are you PTing? Yeah, so dude, come in. I'll give you a couple of free sessions just as a nice gesture. And then that way you can generate leads through that way. But you actually got to be authentic though. You can't be just trying to sell all the time.
Well,
and giving no expectations.
Get that friend part of it going first.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's interesting actually, come to think of it, there's two ways, isn't there? You can have a friend in them first and then convert them into a client.
Yeah.
Or they can just come to you through a website or something like that, where it's purely initially client-based. And then you start to build the rapport and the friendship, and you start to drag it over towards that middle ground that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you what you just said before, attending social events, something I'm just working on myself for a little bit more, trying to get out a bit more and doing that. I think you might be better than I am on that, probably.
It's probably just maybe something that I have done before. Yeah. Like once you go to the second one or whatever, you start to realise what they're about and you just feel a bit more comfortable. And you pick out, once you've been to handful of them, you see the people that are at their first ones as well, because they're kind of walking around, you can read their body language, and you can say, oh, hey man, how you going, you know, you've been to one of these before, and they'll just say no, because you can tell.
But I think the most, I think out of all of these, it's not being afraid to talk to anyone. Like I'm so confident. I will talk to anyone on the gym floor. I don't care who they look like, how athletic. I just do not care. And I think the big thing from that is coming off that is I don't care what they think about me. To a certain level, I do. 100% I do. I need to know what they kind of think of me in a somewhat manner. But at the end of the day, what the opinions of what they think of me, I don't care. So that's what gives me the confidence to go talk to anyone in the gym. And that means the gym, but that also means outside the gym as well. Because you can generate a lot of leads going to those social events, like you said just before, going to businesses, going to your cafes, just even striking to people. I've actually booked people in. I've signed a couple of people from actually in cafes waiting for my coffee, and then just go talk to someone who's waiting for a coffee. Like, that's happened before, too.
Yeah, so, well, just, I guess you got to read the person.
Yeah.
They want to be talked to. They want
That's it. But like
breaking the ice.
Breaking the ice, yeah.
Like, breaking the ice, let's be honest, is like the biggest part when it comes to approaching someone cold like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. 100%. And then obviously see what they vibe back. You know, if they give you very closed off body language, you know, those kind of just one word answers, and you kind of get the vibe straight away. You know what I mean? But if they go, they can respond back to you in a really nice manner. They've got a good energy about you. Like, cool. All right. You know what? I'm going to carry this conversation.
And you know, it's the same. It's not even just when you're speaking to people in a cafe or something like that. If you approach them on the gym floor, if you're calling them on the phone, if they've registered on your website and then they're contacting you, or sorry, you're contacting them based on their, you know, contact details.
Yep.
You got to break the ice with them.
Breaking the 100%. Ice.
It's about getting them talking and opening up to you and starting that professional / friendship relationship going.
You want to be liked by everyone. I think that's a big thing. It's very hard to do, but I think if you can be liked by everyone, you're doing something right.
Yeah, if you're in business with somebody long term, you've got to like each other. Like that's the way that I see it. You have to respect each other. You have to like each other, and you know that can come down to, you know, establishing the line between the two, because at the end of the day, as a personal trainer, they're paying you primarily for the training.
Yeah,
that's the main thing. If you lose that part of it, then it's going to be short lived.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure we've both made that mistake multiple times. Just sort of pushing. Because it's hard, because you're the same as me, bro. You just like being friends with a lot of people, even when the client's like, dude, there's some people I love training with, but it's like I got to almost hold myself back a little bit to maintain that sort of professional business relationship with this client, because I know I could easily just hang out with them all day and not have any issues at all. But it's then that line's getting too far across from business to friendship.
Are you referring to that third dot point under the?
What one's that one? Oh, hey, we can let's bring it. Well, no, it's not that one.
No.
You want to bring it up? Let's bring it up.
Yeah. Well, I guess in context, it's probably
might as well
goes down keep going. To yeah, like female clients in particular, right? Yeah. Like I'm sure you meet some fit, attractive young female clients that.
I think
personal and the professional relationship, the line is gonna be established, or it's gonna be stepped over.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one, because sometimes you might meet a really nice girl and she ends up being your client, but you have this really good relationship with them, there's really good relationships, and there's that kind of next level kind of relationship where you two can actually talk to about anything with each other. But for the most part, that probably happens about 5% out of 100 people. I reckon maybe less. I think for the most part, it's like, do you sleep with your clients or not? And I think for me, my rule of thumb is I don't. At least I try not to. And I also, I have this rule where I try not to sleep with anyone in the gym as well. Because it's just one less thing I don't need to worry about. When I come in a gym...
Okay, another question based on that.
Yeah.
If you were... with a girl intimately, and she considered joining your gym.
Yep.
Would you say no? Or would you like suggest maybe don't? It would be better for me and my business if you didn't.
I think depends on how well I knew the girl. I think that's a big one. Like, you know, this people that you hang out with, the opposite sex, that you love hanging out with them, but you wouldn't want to see them at your workplace. And there's other people, you know, well, I love to work at, and I think it's depending on how much rapport or how meaningful is this relationship and how much communication. I think having how much communication you have with this girl or guy will determine on whether I really wanted to join to the gym or not. And I think if I told them to join the gym, hey, if you join a gym, this is what I'm doing, and communicate that effectively, if that makes sense. So everyone's on the same page. So if something went wrong, it's not going to go wrong because you guys communicated and you will be on the same page.
Yeah, well, look, let's be honest. Communication is the key.
Yeah.
Whether it's this or whether it's establishing the line between
Dude, most people stuff this up. Most people can't communicate properly at all. Like, I try to keep it on topic, but it's like, even with your clients, like, having that communication. This is probably going off topic. I actually keep, this is, hopefully this, the ladies can hear this, but I actually have spare tampons, pads in my locker, and I communicate that with girls.
It's with your clients.
With my clients, I communicate this with clients. It's like, and then that's that kind of communication. If you have the ability to communicate that with that kind of level, your rapport with that prospect or client just goes through the roof.
And
that's, I think, that level of communication that you
definitely need to have. Having a, like, with female clients, it's not a conversation that I steer clear from with them around, you know, their cycle and that sort of thing. Like, my client, female clients know that when it's getting to that time that they can communicate that with me personally. I can't say I've ever had tampons or pads.
I don't think it's
a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's an interesting thing to say. The communication there's no barrier or subject that you can't talk about.
Just be real with each other. And I think it depends on how you want to run a business too.
You know what? Although myself, my style, I would be far more likely to offer that tampon or that pad to one of my male clients if they're being fucking little bitches.
I
need to buy. That's got to be something that I do this week.
I'm definitely
gonna have tampons and pads in my. Yeah,
you'd be hearing them
in my studio next week. Look out!
I love that. That's awesome. But yeah, I think it depends on how you want to run a business too. You know what I mean? If you want to just have. This is probably going back to the topic, saving the line between client and friends.
I think that was still on topic.
Yeah, I think so. But I feel like it depends on how you want to run a business. I see a lot of PTs running just clients for money. I don't want that. I want to run a business for relationships. I have relationships with these people, but there's a fine line between having a professional relationship and a personal relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you got to establish
line. Especially in personal training.
Oh.
Like, let's say if you got a client who is, say you're a lawyer.
Do you need to restart this camera? By the way,
It'll probably come up close. Yeah, actually,
sit there. I'll keep recording this phone. Yeah, we've got a camera at the moment, but it only goes for what, 22, 23 minutes?
27.
Oh, okay, my bad.
That's okay. That's a good time though.
But at least we can still get the audio on down pat.
We're back.
He's back. Welcome back. What were we talking about? Having personal relationships and actual clients. Because I see a lot of PTs actually.
Oh, I was saying, if you're a lawyer and you have a client, then I'm not a lawyer, so I can't say this, 100%, but being a personal trainer, people open up to you so much about, what's going on with their family and their bodies and their relationships and everything. I don't know if that happens so much with lawyers, for example. So when you're a personal trainer, and like you were saying, you're talking about having a client base with good relationships with people, long-term relationships, you learn all that stuff about people. So you do become slightly invested in what they're doing in their life. Mm. And that's why I think this topic is a really good topic to talk about, because as a personal trainer and having clients now, like I got one client now that I've had for 7 years.
Really?
Yeah. And he's referred me clients, and I know his family I've met his staff members and things like that. But having the client for so long, you learn so much about each other. And that line between being friend and associates or business, having a business relationship together.
Yeah.
It's so vital in having long-term clients.
You
were saying before, people want to make money off their clients and have lots of clients and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if personal training is great run that way. Having a gym, you need to get 1,000 people. You need to get 2,000 people. You need to get people in the door. Yeah, it's volume. Not a relationship base. Personal training, I just don't think. And I guess this goes back to why I only run 5-person max group classes.
Yeah.
I used to have like an open boot camp program that I run, but I found that the turnover was really high because I couldn't build relationships with that many people in that amount of time.
Yeah, I get that.
Like
yeah,
I'd have to be contacting them out of the session. So if I had 10 people in a group,
yeah,
I'd have to have all that time of building relationships with them outside of the sessions. Whereas in group, small group classes, you can still build relationships.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I do like that. Yeah, that's a tough one, especially yeah. Small group personal training is great, I think, for that.
Do you do any small group training?
No, I want to, but it's the issue is when I want to run these classes, dude, the gym's so busy, man.
Yeah,
like I don't.
I think you could do two. I think maybe three.
Yeah, two or three.
2 or 3 people.
It's at the point where it's helped me become a better trainer now, because the business that I work for, they're all about more people. Just doesn't matter if it's busy, doesn't care. More people.
That's the commercial and, gym, right?
Yeah, that's commercial
gym. That's how they make money.
That's right, they make money. Okay, get it. It's not the way I would like to run a business, but the issue is that it gets so packed in there, and I have to, it's forced me now to where I can't write session plans dot point anymore. It's like I have a rough idea what I do, but I need to have 5 different ideas, because if I can't use that equipment, I have to use this. Can't use this, I move to this. Can't use this, I move to this.
And that is probably one thing that I would say every personal trainer that works in a commercial gym, and even not in a commercial gym, needs to learn. You need to pick up the skill to be able to do that.
Just freestyle, not so much freestyle. Like you need to have structure. I think that's important, but you need to be able to flow. If the whole squat reps are taken, what can you do that is somewhat similar but still getting the same objective out of what you want to achieve?
It's more about the objective. Yeah. It's not about how you're getting there. It's about what it is that you're working towards. Okay, I'm going to do legs with this client. I just need to know 1,000 things off the top of my head. Bang, bang.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. I'll go right up to the alphabet to Z. And then even if I couldn't get Z, plan Z, I'll go freaking through the numbers, plan 1, plan 2.
Yeah, because the thing is as well, we've definitely gone off topic here.
Doesn't matter, we'll keep going. This is what's expected to happen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so... People will walk in and they'll say, oh, even in my head, I was like, I'm going to do legs today with this person. I hurt my knee. I was playing soccer on the weekend.
Yeah, that happens all the time, bro.
If you spend 10, 15 minutes planning that session, wasted. You do that with 4 clients in one day, that's an hour gone.
Mm.
And then you just kind of sit standing there going, all right, figuring out what are you going to do.
Mm.
So personally, I don't really plan a lot of sessions.
Yeah, this is something me. I just have dot points.
Yeah, just objective. An overview of what we're trying to do.
That's it, yeah.
It's a way better way to
the
do
ability
it.
To run a flexible structure.
But both session. Of us having done this for over 10 years, you can do that. It's hard to do
experience.
That.
Experience. Yeah,
when you've been personal training.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember, I remember when I first started training people, like when I actually started running a business at 18, because I started working at a martial arts gym, started holding pads and stuff, and then 18, I think it was 18 or 19 when I started running the first PT business, that was like, dude, it would take me like 30 minutes to write a session plan. And then, something will happen.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dude.
You'd stay up the night before, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Nothing gets done the same.
Yeah, like, I remember that.
I'll use that session with the next person, and then they've hurt their shoulder the day before. Like, oh.
Yeah.
And then the next person is just nowhere near fit enough to be able to do it.
Yeah, and it backfires, I remember that.
But I guess, back to the line between... Establishing the line between client and friend.
Mm.
What do you do? Like, how do you do that?
Well... I think, it's hard because my business model is usually more relationship-based. Now, the way if you do that, the growth of the business is slower, but I look at that, I'm doing this for the marathon, not the sprint, and my turnover is very, very low, unless they're moving jobs or whatnot, or moving houses, because the city's obviously different. A lot of people live in the city. And I think I've actually never thought of it since you asked me that now, but I think what I have been doing is I actually do a lot of social things with my clients, like going out for dinner, coffees and all that kind of stuff with them. But I always make sure, hey man, like, this is what's going on with my training, and always communicate what's going on with their training, so they still see me as their PT or their coach, rather than just the friend slash PT, you know what I mean? So than just the friend. So I always make sure I'm always communicating what they're doing with the training, just saying, hey man, 4 weeks ago we did this, so make sure in 4 weeks' time we need to be hitting this kind of weight. So they still are communicating with their training, because I feel like with a lot of PTs, when they start bridging that gap between the line and with the PT and the friends, is they stop talking about the training. They all talk about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't think of it until you asked me now, but I think subconsciously that's what I've just naturally been doing.
Tie it back to the training.
I always just bring it back to the training. Yes, we can hang out and all that kind of stuff, and I don't even talk about it. I just naturally want to hang out with them, but I always make sure, even before, just before I leave, like, hey man, I'm going to see you next week at this time. This is what we're doing. You know, blah, 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 blah. And so that they know, as much as we are have a really good relationship, so end of the day, I'm still your trainer, and I still need to be accountable for that. I'm responsible for your health and well-being.
Mm.
So,
yeah, look, I think what that does is it allows you to go a little bit over the line in terms of, like,
gives you leverage. Yeah, it gives you leverage, because I am a sociable person. As much as I like to lock myself in a room most days, not talk to anyone, I actually am sociable. So it's like, I like to have that lifestyle. It's a cool lifestyle to have, really, having all these relationships with my clients. But again, you got to make sure you're professional at somewhat level, and you got to make sure you're communicating with their training and making sure that we're not just talking about doing friend stuff.
Mm.
So,
do you ever go out with your clients on a friend example, like you were just saying, you're just always talking about training? You're always, like, the whole time that you're in that social event, no?
I've never been out with them. Like, I've gone out for dinner and maybe had one or two drinks or something like that. But at least at some point of time, let's say if we went out for an hour, right? At some point of time, I'm going to bring up training. At some point of time. And I think you need to be flexible in the way you communicate too, because you can't just talk about all about training. That's actually, this is where most PTs suck, or most gym goes, because all they can do is talk about the training and what they're eating. There's more than life than just training, you know what I mean? Maybe the books you're reading, maybe some difficult situations that you were facing and you've learned to overcome, like the actual proper life situations. So I think broadening your topics when you're talking about training, like today I was doing basically what we're going to map out for the next 2 months with a client, and it's like, what habits do you want to get rid of, and what habits do you want to introduce? If this is your goal, how do you think, what habits are going to help you get to that goal? And we're talking about habits and how we build habits building, and using cues to remind yourself to build a habit, because it averagely takes 66 days to build a new habit. I think it's less personally if you have cues to remind yourself, but we're just talking about those kind of things. So yeah, there's a bit more life than training.
Life.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? Yeah, I think that's good.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good question actually. What do you do? I know you have a little bit of you do the same stuff that I kind of do. Do you have things that you naturally do, bro, or do you do you have procedures, or you know where the line is, like,
to draw the line?
To draw the line between the client and the friend.
First and foremost, back to previous statement, I don't have sex with my clients.
Yeah, same. That is,
I've got a really good blend between male and female clients. I'm not into men, so.
Okay.
With the women particularly, I just don't have.
Ladies here, no?
I don't sleep. I don't sleep with.
Yeah, gotcha. Mm. So about 50-50, would you say your clients about 50-50?
It's pretty much 50-50.
Yeah, same here.
It just kind of works out that way.
Yeah.
I have a very good relationship with all of my clients.
Mm.
I'm in a position now where I've got, you know, relatively full client base. So I don't take people on that I don't click with. I'm not in a situation where I have to take a client on.
Gotcha.
And look, it can be, you know, it can be a bit wavy, you know, sometimes a little bit busier than others, sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm fortunate to have, you know, a steady flow of new leads coming in using so many different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have a good relationship with someone, I probably not going to work with them much after a month.
Yeah.
It's just not clicking, and there's just going to be a separation that I'm not going to try to bridge.
Yeah, and you don't look forward to training the person.
Yeah, and in contrast to that, because I do get, enjoyment out of training every single one of my clients, my clients benefit from that.
Yeah, so true, man. So true, dude.
How do I keep the line in check? Personally, I think it's just all professionalism. The more professional that I've gotten over the years, the easier this whole thing has become. Because I do understand that professionalism is a broad concept, and that, you know, you got to be doing different things with different individuals, and you got to do different things in different industries and that sort of thing. But the key is to have, I think, which is an underestimated or an undervalued element of professionalism, is to have a strong emotional intelligence. And to be able to
been built from working in gyms.
It can be, but it's also something that you can get a lot of literature on now.
Oh, yeah. The education's there. It's all online. It's in books. It's like,
so if anyone doesn't know what, emotional...
Keep going. We're going to talk.
No worries. If anyone doesn't know what emotional intelligence is, basically it's just about understanding somebody and understanding what it is that drives them. And as a coach, establishing what it is that motivates that person. Because as a personal trainer, it's really all about motivation. You know, sometimes people are more motivated by being slightly better friends with you, whereas other people aren't motivated by you getting involved in their personal life. And, you know, that can be for so many different reasons. They might be just closed off people. They might be too busy in their work and personal life to be able to take on, you know, that relationship with their personal trainer. Who knows what it is? But the key as a personal trainer or a coach is understanding how to read that from people when they're giving you signals. And they're giving you their body language. When you ask them...
Basic psychology.
It is, basically. If you ask them a question about their personal life and their body language represents something that says, I don't want you to talk about this with me, don't talk about it with them. Change the subject. Talk about something that makes their body language express energy, motivation, happiness. You know what I mean? The things that they want from personal training. So, like I said, for me, the key is to be so adaptable and to just consciously be probing that person for what it is that motivates them and what it is that demotivates them.
Yep.
Take out the things that demotivates them, like you were saying before, you know, taking out the things, really effective ways of making progress, and then adding more of the things that do motivate them.
Mm.
Emotional intelligence is... It changed how I was training.
Yeah.
But that does go into psychology as well. So once you start researching emotional...
That's how I got so interested in psychology, yeah. Just training people and learning that most... You have to be... from my experience, I feel like you almost have to be like a practical psychologist at some point, because some people are pouring out their problems at you. Because training can be quite vulnerable.
Yeah, and that's why I was talking about before with the lawyers, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a lawyer and I haven't lived that life, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I imagine that some people, some clients would do that.
I have one client, he's a lawyer. Dude, super real with him. But he's young though, I think.
No, I mean the lawyer with their clients. So his clients might not necessarily... And they might open up with them, but they're not going to see them 3 times a week for 5 years.
Oh, dude, 100%. Do you know what I mean?
The lawyer's going to see that different client. Yeah, they'll settle the case and then they won't see them until it becomes an issue.
Pay me fucking 20 grand. Where's my 20 grand paycheck? Thank you.
Yeah, but it's just not the same. So that's why
less personal.
Is really based around that line between friend and coach.
Mm.
Being professional and being, you know, personal.
Mm. It's so true, dude. Hey. Yeah, psychology is a mess. You know what's an annoying thing, bro, is they don't fucking teach you this shit in your studies, bro. They don't teach you basic psychology. They teach you the anatomy, bro. They teach you where your bicep is located and where it's inserted. That's
pretty important.
That's important too. I always give my examples. This is like, you could be the most knowledgeable PT out there, but if you don't know basic psychology and if you don't know how to sell and operate a business, you are completely useless. You will not survive the first 6 months. If I think the stat was I could be wrong here, but I think if you pass the first 6 months, 6 or 8 months of being a PT, you're doing better than like 80% of PTs or something like that. Some crazy dude. Like the turnover of PTing is so high.
Yeah, because let's be honest, right? The truth is it's a low barrier entry professionalism.
You
can get into it. You don't have to have any, prerequisites and certifications. It's the worst. Or anything like that. Dude. But you know what? That's just the nature of it. And
that's the industry. That's the industry. You know what I mean?
You know, I personally don't get too caught up in that particular part of it. Like, I know a lot of people do.
I just focus
on what I'm doing. And
exactly.
I'm way, 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 way past that stage of being a personal trainer. I'm way over the hill in that respect.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I'm a bit of a veteran in it, fair. So
the experience says it all.
And I guess that's another reason why I value good quality relationships with clients that I'm going to have a good friendship with, is that I just don't need to take on clients or people's issues that I'm not going to enjoy my time with.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And the thing is as well, like this, what we're talking about, the line between client and friend or business and personal, you can pick it up with some people when they actually even become like a new lead. I've certainly had leads come in from people where their intentions are definitely wrong. And I pick it up from them at the very start. And it's just like, this person is not going to pay me good money for the amount of professionalism that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've earned the right to charge what I charge through knowledge, experience, and being in the game for so long. This person is making it way too personal, and they're never going to be in that sweet spot.
Yeah, it is a sweet spot, isn't it? Yeah.
So, look, I guess that's something that I didn't really, think we're going to talk about. But it is, in hindsight, it is something that I've come across on a few occasions over my time that now I pick it up straight away. Early days, I would have been like trying to make this person happy.
Yep.
Trying to convert them into a client, trying to keep them as a client.
Mm.
But it was way too personal for them. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'd just be like, look, I'd say something like, we got to keep this professional. It's all good and well having a good chat, but we're here to train. We'll get that sorted first.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And if they don't respond well to something like that, like if I say to a client or a new prospect, the main focus is the training. We need to get this done right.
Yeah, then we can talk about
if you can perfect the technique and still be pushing yourself and still hold a good conversation, then we'll continue that conversation. But until you can do that, it's all about the training. And if they don't respond well to that, from my point of view, they're on the way out.
Yeah.
Because they're just not capable of staying in balance.
Yeah.
It's not a really common thing, don't get me wrong. It's not.
It doesn't happen all the time.
But it definitely does happen.
Like, I've definitely lost clients because I've become too close friends. 100%. I'm sure you've done that before too. But yeah, I think if you can learn, I think for me, is if you can learn from this episode, it's like, don't make the same mistakes that we've probably done. Because I think if you're kind of like Brian or myself, you're going to be somewhat similar. You want to be everyone's best friend. That's not a bad thing to have. I think it's a very effective tool to have in life and in business. But I think you really need to really understand the basic psychology and really read the lines between the business and friendship, so that way in future you're not going to have these issues over again and again and again.
Yeah, look, I guess you can't learn from our experience, but having heard us talk about it, you might just put it on the radar. Just going to do a quick splice.
Yeah, go for it. Go to splice, get going. You know, I think it's also, too, it doesn't have to relate just to PTing. Like, it can relate to any sort of business that is a service-based business, I think.
Definitely.
This
is not exclusive to personal training.
I think we should have probably said that at the start, but it's like, this is not just exclusive to personal training. This also is, I think, any service-based business, whether it's, you know what I mean...
Relationship-based.
Yeah. Relationship-based more so, you know what I mean, whether it's like... Maybe lawyer, okay. Maybe you do have that connection. I don't know. I don't work in that field, but what else? Like, what do you reckon? Like, barber? Maybe been having a bar?
Yeah, people that I think services where the face to face reoccurrence is quite high.
Yeah.
Especially on a weekly basis.
Ooh.
If it's a minimum once a week,
yeah.
I'll put it out there, like being a barista.
Yeah.
Like, if you're making coffee for the same people every single day, there's a definite opportunity there where it can... And I know the barista probably doesn't own the business or whatever, but if that barista is going out, meeting with those people outside of work all the time, and then eventually just doesn't have professionalism, then it might mean that those people end up not liking that barista personally, and they go somewhere else and get coffee, and the business owner suffers. But it's just anything where it's just regular interaction.
Yeah.
And that's why I used the lawyer example before, because I don't know how many lawyers will be seeing their clients on a weekly basis. They will for the period of, you know...
That extent, yeah.
That case.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you don't really want to see your lawyer a lot of time, do you?
Yeah, hopefully you're not seeing your lawyer.
But barber's not a bad one. Like, people get their hair cut once a week.
Yeah.
Can do.
It can do, yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one, but yeah, you really need to know where it is. And I think that's what, like, what's your goal of your business? Do you want to consistently scale the business, or do you just want to run a business that makes the same amount of income year in, year out, and your turnover is about the same, so you always have to fill the pipeline up? Dude, it'd be nothing worse, man, running a fucking PT business or any sort of service business and just constantly stressing, like, crap, I need more leads, because your turnover, because you can't even keep your clients, because, one, you don't know how to deliver a good job, or two, bring it back to the top, is you just want to, you're so infatuated on just being everyone's best friend and not maintaining that professionalism.
That's a good one, yeah. What is the goal of the business, you know?
Yeah, that's true. What is the goal of the business? Do you want to have a relationship with these people, or do you want to, you know, maintain that 50-50 balance, or you just want to make money for the quick buck? But at the end of the day, if you're right, this is a really good point now, if I'm thinking about it now. People who are just going to chase money, I promise you, you will not be around the next 5-10 years. I promise you that. You will not be. When the economic gets tight, and when disposable income is not around as much, and if you don't have that relationship to that people, for example, we may not get this affected as much, but when this market pops, I kind of can't wait for this market to pop. It's going to get rid of a lot of fake people in the industry. But if you're just chasing money, and when the economy gets really tight and no one has that disposable income as much anymore, they're not going to deem that service that you're delivering to them as value, and they're going to drop off really quickly.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a real consideration that I didn't fully... Well, I grasped it, but only because it was hurting me, like in the early days, is that sometimes that would happen. People would see... you know, personal training as something that they don't need to do. They do it because they can and because it's good
at
the time.
It's not a necessity. It's definitely not a necessity.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a good way to describe it. So when you've got, like you said, when you've got a good relationship with these people, they value it a little bit more, and they're walking away from that business and friendship. When they leave, like, you
got to
get the balance right.
I had a discussion still in the previous podcast. I had my friend, he's a dentist, but it's like we had a little brief discussion. But it's like, even when you're the economy gets tight, you still need to see the dentist. You still need to get your teeth fixed up. But if the economy got tight, you don't need training. You can work outside. Everyone can work outside, though, really. If everyone had enough initiative and enough taking more responsibility, everyone could work outside and don't need any personal trainers. But you need to get your teeth fixed.
Mm.
So that's why I feel like as if you want to run, this is why most businesses don't survive the first, 80% of businesses in Australia don't survive the first 5 years. And there's a reason why. It's not because of just Australia. There's a reason why. And I think a lot of these businesses, especially more service-based business, are just chasing the quick buck, but they're not actually developing these actual relationships with these people, exchanging a service for cash flow. So again, that's great. Now you've established that you want to have a good relationship with your client. Cool. Now the next topic is knowing when to draw that line.
Mm. And promise you right now, when someone is paying you for your service, they will be willing to pay you more if you are able to reel that line in. If you're getting too friendly and chummy with them, they're going to see the service as less valuable.
Mm.
When you can just say, bong, reel it back into line, that's what they're paying for. They're paying for the professional side of it. So when it goes too far into the personal, then they wonder what they're paying for. But if there's not enough personal relationship along the way, they'll walk away from it quickly because they can just get the professional side of it from anybody.
Mm.
So it's like I said, the topic of the conversation is about establishing that line between not too much personal and not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have that relationship, but as soon as it goes too far over that way, they're just... don't know what they're paying for. They're paying you to be their friend.
Yeah.
No, they're paying you for results.
Yeah.
Professional results.
Mm. Wouldn't be a result-based business.
Mm.
That's the best business model for a PT, I reckon. Or any service business, really. Results-based. Mm. Okay.
Mm. Quite an interesting conversation. Yeah. Interesting topic. What do you think?
Mm. Like, subscribe, give us a follow on the podcast. I might have to create another podcast, I reckon, channel. I think eventually I've got to get off this app thing and actually have my own distribution channel, I think.
Yeah, it's all a work in progress. It's a work in progress. It's coming along.
That's it, but you just got to start. You know, that's the thing. People, dude, it's so crazy, man. There's a amount of people coming to me, it's like, oh, man, I've been wanting to do a podcast for ages. I'm like, man, why didn't you just start it?
It wasn't hard.
It wasn't hard. You press play. And talk. Stop, talk.
You know what I mean? And we're developing it as we go. You're probably wondering, what is this?
Yeah.
This is the amazing table of contents that you saw me put together at the start that I don't know right now what it's going to look like, but...
But stay tuned.
It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It looked great.
Going back in time again.
You're in the wrong industry, bro. I think you should be in the...
Production?
You should be in the production, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just calling out in your shit now, man. I think you're in the wrong industry. Docklands production studio.
Well, this time next year, there will be a production
studio. Yeah, there will be. There we go.
Here we go. Going back in time, going forwards in time.
Yeah, that's exciting. It's crazy.
Paying for results. That's what clients pay for, right? They pay for results. Whatever it is that you're doing, they pay for your results.
Mm.
They stay with you because they're getting results.
It's so true, dude. One's keeping them. And I think keeping them is actually delivering results. But it's funny, like, we've still got a bit of time. It's funny where, even now, dude, I see other trainers train clients. I'm like, man, their clients looked exactly like they did 6 months ago. I'm like, what are you doing? Or what are they doing? Or maybe your clients are not. You need that relationship so you can force that discipline with them, establish new habits with them. But yeah, results, guys. If you're with a PT, you bloody well want to get results from them. If not, probably see Brian or myself.
There's a good tag on there.
You know
where to find us.
You know where to find us. We're in Docklands. I'm at the Marvel Stadium, and you're just down the road down there. This is good. I'm really happy. I'm really happy with this topic.
Yeah.
I don't know what we could talk about next.
You can be pretty damn sure it's going to be amazing.
It's... You can confidently tell it's going to be even amazing after this one.
Mm. I did have an idea, actually. Did you? What was it?
Do you want to keep it this kind of stuff, or do you want to, like...
I think that we've been doing pretty well with the ideas. They've been really unique ideas, and... I did have an idea.
Sure, we'll figure it out.
Get back to you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you guys when it is in the next episode.
Yeah. It'd be cool. Really happy with this.
What do you reckon?
Yeah. What's the YouTube channel called?
My YouTube channel is just InFitPT.
InFitPT. Like INFit? Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool.
So, InFitPTV. But the other social media channels are Docklands PT Studio.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I've got Lock is Awake, LACH is Awake. And the podcast name, Bookworm Podcast, it's available in most distribution channels. But probably changing the name too. I feel like I've got to be changing the name. I think as I've been executing on these episodes, you start to find what your content actually is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even with this now, bro.
Yeah, I think our the topics that we've covered and the conversations that we've had have certainly not gone the way that I expected the first episode.
No.
Way better than I expected, I will say. It's been better.
Yeah.
But it just certainly wasn't what I was expecting. So
it's cool.
For the people that have been watching and that have seen them out. And
sending the feedback too. Really appreciate the feedback. I don't know about yourself, but I have a lot of...
getting feedback. And, you know, some of the changes that we've made have been on the back of the feedback that we've been getting to date. So, you know, things like doing this and the introduction.
Small things like that, and just trying to keep it as close as topic as we can instead of rambling on and stuff like that. But, this is really good, man. I like doing this in your house too. It's a lot more easier.
I like the fact that we've had a different...
Yeah,
setting.
I think
it's
cool. I think that could be a thing too.
Yeah, we could try. After the first one, I was like, "Oh, this location's good. You know, we'll keep it the same each time." But we've had three different locations, and I think it's been pretty good.
Yeah, you just make it work, bro.
Where to next?
Who knows? Stay tuned.
On top of the Eureka Tower.
Yeah, we could do that, bro.
Yeah, well, call them after.
I'll call them up on the Sky Deck.
Yeah.
Just say, hey guys.
Have you been on there?
No, I did like 3 years ago. I think we've went with my ex or something like that.
Maybe we could do one in the Melbourne. You know that eye thing, the Ferris wheel.
Oh my god, the Ferris wheel.
That's half an hour around. Yeah, so we could ask him maybe pay for a double trip.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. You could also do an aquarium. I don't know how that would work, but you could do an aquarium.
I haven't been there, so I don't know how we can.
I don't know how that works, but the Ferris wheel thing would be cool, man.
I reckon that's awesome. As long as we get the lighting right and all of that sort of thing, that'd be killer.
Yeah, that'd be.
I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah, look into it. Let me give them a call.
Keep an eye out.
Docklands coming at you. This is good, man. Well, we'll pretty much. I guess we'll wrap it up there. It's like 58 minutes. It'll cut off at 60 minutes. So. Just what's your social medias and all that kind of stuff again, just so people
InFit
know.
InFit PTV or Docklands Personal Training Studio.
InFit PTV? PTV? Oh, it's right there. You got it on the singlet for anyone who can't see. They're watching not watching the video. InFit PT, PTV. Oh my God, I can't fucking say it. And Docklands PT Studio. And my Instagram, Lock is Awake. Got that one. I also actually I just started I got my Facebook page up again. It's just Lockie Veal, so LACHIE Veal, like baby cow, VEAL. That's that one there. Check it out. But anyway, stay tuned to the next episode, and thank you for everyone for listening. Bye guys.
Peace.
Peace.